Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Back in 2015, Lil Dicky was performing at the Irving Plaza on his professional rapper tour. At that point, his rap career was a success. His internet career was a success. But as he sat down with me, I got a much deeper and much more introspective Lil Dicky than I ever knew imagined. I had thought of him as just this funny guy who could rap and tell jokes. And when I sat down and talked with him, turned out he was much deeper than that, looking for his soulmate, talking about romance and purpose and meaning in this world. And he also called his shot in one of the most confident, cocky, smart displays I've ever heard. He explained exactly what his plans were to succeed in this industry, to go from funny guy to rapper, because there was no barrier of entries for a guy like him to be in the rap game, then take that success and parlay it into his own television show, which is a field he admittedly had zero ties or connections in. The dude knew it was coming. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He called his shot Babe Ruth style. And 5 years later, his show on FXX, Dave, is a massive success. I mean, I'm talking massive success. 4.8 million viewers across all platforms halfway through season one of his show. Halfway through season one, he was already the most successful comedy in FX history, surpassing Atlanta as the most watched comedy in the network's history. I mean, talk about nailing it. Talk about calling your shot. Holy shit. And sure, a lot of people could say anybody who's ever made it in this game had that confidence and that swagger and that plan, and they went out and accomplished it. But to already have the success in the rap game, he could have easily said, let me just keep doing this. I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm good. But he knew what his dream was. He knew he was more than just a rapper. He saw himself as a comedy writer. And he dropped his fucking nuts on the table. He took that leftward sloping penis and he dropped it on the table. So this is an interview with me and him backstage at Irving Plaza 5 years ago. I hope you enjoy it.
All right, it's your boy Lil Dicky, a.k.a. the urologist, a.k.a. Slim Boner, a.k.a. the firm handshake, a.k.a. leftward sloping penis. Why do they?
AKA the Biggest Loser. That's my new one that I like.
Oh yeah, that's the latest.
Yeah, that's the new shit. Can you curse on this?
Oh yeah, you can say whatever the fuck you want, man.
Fuck yeah.
Don't worry, dude. Mom and dad ain't listening. You can say whatever you want, man.
Cool.
Why do they slope left? It's weird, right?
You know, I don't know that everybody does.
I feel like majority people out there would say it's slope.
That's
left.
Interesting. I don't actually never thought about what the majority would be.
Well, listen, mine's slopes left. So right now we're like this leftward sloping.
We're on the
club.
Same page, yeah.
Okay, yeah, we're in like the trust tree here.
Yeah.
The left-hand dicks.
For sure.
So we're here, Irving Plaza, professional rapper tour.
Yeah.
As your boys were telling me. Actually, you know what? Let's open up a little story for the folks.
Sure.
Because, you know, I'm a fan. I like your music.
Thank you.
I'm into it. We walk into Irving Plaza. I say, what's up to Lil Dicky? Shake his hand. What's up, man? How are you, bro?
Yeah.
He says, nice to meet you. You have hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Well, who the fuck carries hand sanitizer? No, I don't have it, Dicky. Why? Oh, because I just took a shit and I wiped and I didn't wash my hands.
It's a ridiculous way to meet a human being.
I mean, put it this way, our relationship can only go up from here.
Yeah,
because it started with your poop on my hands.
Yeah, it did.
So.
And honestly, not that I need to get in this level of detail, but like it was the type of wipe where I knew that I should have washed my hands.
Like normally, man, and now I'm rubbing my face. Fuck.
Normally, like if it was just like you know, sometimes you're like okay with what happened.
But what did you just not like hold enough toilet paper?
There was a moment where like just like fingers rubbed against like the inside of like the inner part of like my butt cheek, like near the hole.
Well, listen,
yeah,
that just made it a lot worse. So whatever, we're just gonna.
Have you washed your hands since? Because I have.
No, that's the thing. So now I'm the dirty one here. You
Don't
are
touch
actually
me.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're afraid of me. Okay, great.
Yeah,
that's real fucking fair. So here we are, and so I guess my question to you in general,
yeah,
Lil Dicky, rapper, comedian, writer? What do you like view yourself as? Like right now, you're about to take the stage. We're at Professional Rapper Tour, yeah. Irving Plaza. Are you going out there like, I'm trying to make people laugh tonight, or I'm trying to like rock the crowd?
I'm trying to do both. I'm trying to do both tonight. Always when I'm like, you know, and yeah, I'm trying to do both in a rap concert for sure.
Right.
I would say right now I view myself as a rapper, but okay. I think like my end goal is to be viewed as a comedian and writer as well. I think my honest opinion is I am a writer first and foremost.
Okay.
And like I've chosen to use rap as my initial vehicle to express myself.
Now, it makes sense, obviously. Yeah. What, why different, why not just say you're a rapper right now? Like what do you think?
Well,
like,
I just think I have more to offer than just
rap.
Did
you start writing?
Yeah,
you
know, I'm starting.
And
I'm working
on it.
And it
became more of a rap thing?
No, I was just, I guess throughout my life, you know, my friends have always seemed to, like, laugh at my jokes.
Right.
And I always knew everywhere I went that everybody continued to laugh at my jokes.
This motherfucker's funny.
Yeah.
Everybody's laughing.
I just, you know, I won class clown in high school. Like, I was just always, like, the funny guy.
Right.
And I wasn't really that satisfied being just the funny friend of everybody's. I don't think that, like, Seth Rogen or Jonah Hill started out as anything more than everybody's funniest friend.
Right.
And so with that in mind, I thought, how can I become one of those types of guys?
Got it.
And then it was like, I don't know that I have any connections in the film industry or like the you know, the screenwriting industry. I could write a screenplay, have no one to hand it to. I love rap music. I can rap. Why not use this? There's very little competition in that space.
Right.
You know, you can stand out immediately. And like, you're almost doing like two things at once. You're definitely doing two things at once. So it's like you get double the credit to some extent.
Right.
So that's why I started doing it. And it wasn't really to become a rapper. It was to become a comedic figure.
Got it. Then, just a way to get your writing
get in,
out there.
And then start doing my own thing, like make my own TV show. But along the way, I fell in love with rapping and got better and better at it to where I think I'm, you know, I'm a legitimate rapper and I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how can I not love that?
Well, yeah. Dude, yeah. So that this is where I think so many guys like myself, I'm 30. I feel like if you're anywhere in that age range,
yeah.
You grew up in like a golden era of hip hop, rap,
yeah.
Going mainstream, everybody loving it.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to be a rapper or
yeah.
Thought they were a rapper.
Totally.
And just making that jump is, you know, for guys like me and you, you're
crazy.
A Jewish guy from outside Philly,
yeah.
Right? I mean, like,
it's a dream.
It's impossible.
It's as improbable as making the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. It absolutely
yeah.
Is. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
So somehow you pull that off.
I know. I feel
how,
as though.
How
yeah.
The fuck? How does that happen? Because, like, so you say to yourself, all right, I don't have any ins with in the movie industry, but I can go be a rapper. I would
well,
think,
I guess,
put it this way, a white Jewish guy has
yeah.
A lot better of a chance of being on TV as a comedian
yeah.
Than a rapper. So
well,
how do you flip
the
it?
The difference is with the comedy stuff, I think you rely on external factors more. Whereas,
what do you mean? What sense?
I'm going to need someone to book me for my 5-minute stand-up thing. I'm going to need someone to come to for that 5 minutes. I'm going to need to be so funny in that 5-minute stretch to where, like, someone cares, to where I get that opportunity to be someone's bitch and, like, make
right.
A really good. Whereas now, when I don't do that, you can just, I mean, you can theoretically create your own content, I guess, from a web series perspective as well.
Right.
But I just think that takes a lot more manpower and resources. I just was at a point where I didn't have any, I guess, allies in any entertainment realm, and I just wanted to do everything myself.
And so you felt rapping was easy to do that?
Yeah, I felt like I could record a whole mixtape.
On YouTube and,
I can
yeah.
Make, I can make a mixtape in my room on GarageBand. All
right.
I need is a microphone. I can. All I need is a 5D camera to make a music video.
Right.
And so I just started doing it. And I think there was just a space in rap that nobody had remotely even come close to trying to touch.
Right.
And even to my, I thought, I knew that I would have a cult following.
Like, oh, look at you. You were confident, huh?
But like, I had no idea how big that cult following would be. Like,
got
I knew
it.
There was going to be X amount of people that were like, this is awesome.
Right.
Because it's so, you know, distinct and different. I didn't think that
it was that
this many people were going to be on board with me rapping
right.
About another guy's dick for a fool. You know what I mean? Even I thought like
well,
this might be too much, you know?
Well, okay. So here's the thing. Obviously there's a huge cult following. And the reason
yeah.
Is what you just said. It nobody else did it. Nobody
yeah.
Else even comes close to it.
Yeah.
So every fucking normal ass white dude, everybody who's not from the hood, everybody who's not fucking wearing chains and
yeah.
Tricking out, who's just a normal guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of those fucking people. There's more normal people than not, and that's the niche that you fill.
Yeah.
So it's not even a niche, dude. You're actually applying – you're appealing to the much broader audience. You know
yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's – I'm always hesitant to call something normal and not normal. You know what I mean? It's just different things. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, shut the fuck up. It's a lot more normal to just be like an average white guy than to be
just an average
like ball and rapper.
Sure, I suppose, yeah. Honestly, and I'm not just saying this to avoid controversy, I don't know that race has anything to do with it, but just an average American citizen, sure.
Okay.
Then, like, yeah. But I think even now, even more than when I started, like 2 years ago, rap is evolving into where it's not just, it's like less and less that stereotypical thing. Like for people sure. coming up, it's like,
oh, yeah.
it's becoming a lot more artistically sound.
Absolutely. You know there's what I mean? So much more crossover.
Yeah.
Race is not an issue anymore. Yeah. There's a lot more styles out there.
Right.
For sure.
No, for sure. I think, you know, let's call a spade here. Suburban America listens to rap music. They can't relate to it. They finally never got to relate to it.
Right. And that's what's crazy to me is that it is so popular with suburban America, white people, whatever you want to call it. With, I mean, literally nothing to relate to. My whole life, I'm growing up singing lyrics, acting shit out.
But you like that escape, too.
Yeah, and part of it is always like, I want to do that. I want to be that.
Sure.
But the flip side is now to have someone with flow, with good rhymes, who's saying shit that I'm like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You get the references.
It makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, no.
you went through a period where you really, really... We're talking about sucking your own dick, like pretty periodically.
It's not even. It's not even remotely over. I'm like pretty pot committed to the notion of on every single project I release, I will have like a moment where it's like I talk about sucking my own dick, just because it's so over the top and ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Yet at the same time, everybody listening is kind of like
they're like, huh? Yeah, I know. So on my album, for example, there's like another whole. Bit about sucking my own dick.
Now, so what we do at Barstool is the main thing when we're writing blogs is trying to be relatable.
Sure.
Which obviously your music is.
Yeah.
But every now and then, you know, I'll have a thought or I do something and I'm like, is this really relatable or is this one of my own weird things?
Totally.
Did you ever have a moment where you're I'm going to talk about sucking my own dick and this might just fall flat? Or were you pretty confident everybody's tried to suck their own dick?
I was pretty confident everybody tried to suck their own dick. But what you're describing is I definitely have to ask my friends like, hey, did you guys used to get boners in the waiting room like before you got physicals because you were so nervous that you were going to get hard? And like one of my friends was like, no. The other friend was like, yeah. So all I needed was one other guy.
I hear that. Yeah. As soon as I get anybody who slightly agrees with one of my references, I'm like, boom, I'm writing this blog. Everyone's going to get it. Yeah. You put yourself out there, though. It's always like a little dicey.
For sure. I like pushing the envelope. Yeah. It's just funny to me. I believe in the joke, just in general.
Right. So when you write a song, something like that, do you come up with like a single idea first? Are you kind of like, all right, you know, better than the free bread at the Outback? I'm going to start from that
song.
And
that song.
Grow from there, like make a song around that, or is that just like a throw in that all of a sudden, you know?
So like a lot of songs, like Lemmy Freak,
right?
Extremely, it's a story. Like I conceived that story before I wrote the song. Thought the whole story through, then wrote the song.
I feel like that's more where you're like doing like comedic writing, where you're writing almost a TV scene.
Yeah. And then I figured out how to make a rap. Yeah. Free Run of the Outback is like a little bit more of a generic, like there's not about anything.
Right.
I guess that song started. I write down little things to mention in rap, like little things. Like yesterday I wrote down Scantron. You remember like Scantrons?
Bro,
totally forgot
exactly
about that word.
About.
Yeah, like imagine Scantron in a rap. Like there's a great place for it. Calvin and Hobbes.
My iPhone notes pad is just constantly filled with dumb things that pop into my head, and I'm just always trying to work them into a tweet or
exactly.
Whatever.
So I'm the same way, trying to work it into a rap. And the Bread of the Outback was something that I wanted to work into a rap, and that just I don't know, it just made sense for. I don't know,
it makes perfect sense to me because I relate to that so much on what we do, but I don't get to turn it into a fucking
it's
rap.
It's great bread.
It really is.
It's amazing.
And if you've ever had it, then you're like, you fucking relate to it. It makes perfect sense.
And it's so free and it's unlimited refills.
Really love it.
Oh, I push. Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
If you could have unlimited free Outback bread whenever you wanted it forever.
Yeah.
Or be able to suck your own dick, what would you take?
Well, to be honest, I kind of feel like right now I have unlimited free Outback bread forever as long as I keep going.
I thought he was going to say, to be honest, I actually can suck my own dick.
No, I can't suck my own dick. You know, I don't think even if I could suck my own dick,
you would?
I definitely wouldn't come in my own mouth.
I would sincerely hope not.
I've never even, I haven't even tasted my own cum.
I would hope not as well.
A lot of guys have tasted their own cum. One time. I think if you polled people and there was lie detectors, I think at least 30 to 45% have tasted their own
little fingertip.
I haven't even done it. Have you done it?
I've never done it.
Okay.
But again, you know.
People have done it.
I've
got friends who have done it.
Because I've done a lot of weird shit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a little weird. So you feel like you have you've got your free bread at the Outback forever now.
As long as you've made it? No.
You think he has arrived?
I mean, they offer it for free.
As long as there's an Outback,
I'm going to be getting free bread at it. You can come in.
So you mentioned Lemmy Freak,
yeah.
Which I think the scene, verse, whatever you want to call it, in your realm of comedic rap.
With the what you're going to say with the boss, with the work dynamic or no? Yeah. Everyone always says that.
I feel that now. I feel like a dick because it sounds very cliche.
No. I'm surprised. Everyone always says that moment. I didn't make that moment up either. I've had that conversation. That's why everyone's that exact conversation. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, when you say, I don't understand the dynamic. Yeah, then. Yeah. I mean, like, I've said those words. Yeah. That's my other boss.
Yeah. Like, oh, but she's not hands-on.
Mm. It is incredible how much. I
can't even take credit for it. It happened and I wrote it down.
You got to thank, like, your annoying-ass girlfriend who one time fucking did that to you. Yeah. When she starts crying, oh, what the fuck is this? Yeah. I mean, those thoughts, those feelings, those words has come out of every dude's mouth who's ever dated any girl.
I guess I felt that this people at least understand this conversation. I didn't think everybody would have had, like, I'm surprised at women throughout America.
They're such assholes because they all do it.
I guess we've all had the same conversation.
This is why we say they're all fucking crazy. They're all kind of annoying.
I can't say that.
Why not?
I just can't. I don't necessarily believe it. I love, like, I'm like, one thing that I really value, like, so if ambition and, like, achieving your best career stuff is like part of your life.
Uh-huh.
Like becoming like the best version of you can become professionally.
Right.
That's half to me. The other half is finding your soulmate and like falling into the deepest love.
Okay.
And that's how I feel about women.
And I take it you have not found that yet.
No.
What do you think the Lil Dicky soulmate is? Who do you think Lil Dicky soulmate is? Who do you think Dave's soulmate is? I would imagine two very different girls.
Okay. They actually are so different because Lil Dicky soulmate needs a girl who's like, you know, totally fine with, like, you know, doing her own thing.
Independent woman.
Right. Go fly. Like, right. Do you. Like, I don't care if a girl's on your lap. Like, you
right.
know.
You're on tour. Yeah. Do whatever you need. Yeah, exactly. You're working, but I know you're coming home to me.
But yeah. I actually wouldn't want that.
You want a chick who's, like, a little jealous, a little
crazy?
Yeah,
exactly. Yep. I don't even know that I want my wife to even like my music.
I hear that, dude.
You know, like, I like being called out for being an absurd human being from, like, the girl that I'm romantically interested
bro,
in.
Bro, I could not agree
it's
more.
Attractive
I mean,
to me.
I write the dumbest, fucking, most ignorant, stupid shit on the internet. Yeah. I mean, to all my lady fans, all my girls out there who read and like it, I love you, but I would never fucking date you.
Right.
So I'm like, you read that and you still like me? You should fucking hate me now because of that.
It's true.
So I can get down with that idea. Right. So you want to find some chick who calls you out on your shit and be like...
Totally.
I could eventually see you finding some girl who'd be like, can we give up on this whole rapper dream? Come on. Look at you know. Like, know. Just let's go write some Hollywood scripts or some California Jews and be done with this, right?
I'm very curious. Because I haven't dated enough. I've always had a girlfriend. So I'm just...
Well, let me tell you something, man.
Yeah?
Well, let me just offer some advice.
Yeah.
As a... well-established, budding superstar rapper, you should probably not have a girlfriend for the foreseeable future.
Right now, I'm single, and I think I have to be.
Yes.
But before, up until a year ago, or I'll say 2 years ago at this point, mm-hmm. I had serious girlfriends, like, back-to-back-to-back for, like 2 years, you know what I mean? And so I'm finally single, and, like, this year I've gone on so many dates, so many Tinder dates. I've probably gone on 50 first Tinder
dates. The whole nine,
Hinge,
right?
Tinder, yeah. And I'm trying to learn, trying to meet different kinds of girls, like say like, oh, I like that about this girl and that. I really have no idea. Should we tell them to turn the music off? Is this affecting things?
Yeah. Okay. I think it'll add a little something to it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
To answer your question, I don't know what I like. Right. I think I have a vision in my mind of what I like.
Right.
And it's probably not what I like. It's what I'm like most comfortable with.
But what you like will be something totally different.
Yeah, I think I need to learn what I like. Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
So Lil Dicky goes on a Tinder date.
Yeah.
Chicks know who you are?
Well, they definitely, before the date, I make it very, before the date, they've seen Let Me Freak. Like,
right.
They might not know who I am upon the initial hello. But,
on Tinder, you're talking.
But, I always steer the conversation, what do you do for a living?
I was going to say, if you tell me you're one of these people who, like, tries not to tell people.
Oh, no.
You better be fucking using this to your advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, my preference is they don't know initially.
Right.
Like, I prefer them not be, like, a fan initially.
Right, you're not
like
a groupie chick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I send them Let Me Free, and they're like, oh, like, this is interesting.
So that's your go-to.
Yeah, and then they go on the date.
Out of all your songs, Let Me Free.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's me begging a girl to have sex with me in, like, a slightly witty way. There's nothing more
applicable. There's nothing better than that. I mean, that's dating and fucking chicks in general.
Yeah, so I
in
always,
song form.
You know, by the time I'm going on a date, they've seen that video. I make sure of it. It just gives me, like, a distinct leg up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's got to be 100% success rate on Tinder right now.
Well, in terms of, success rate I would describe via Tinder is, like, did I win the date? Can I go on a second date? That's how I describe it. Like,
I mean, I would probably say as a rapper on Tinder, your success rate would be having sex.
Having sex. Okay, so that's not even close.
Too different. Okay.
I don't have sex with girls that I don't like respect.
Okay.
I find it weird.
Okay.
That being said, I have won every date in the sense that I can get a second date except for one girl.
Maybe that was the one, dude.
I don't, it really,
how'd it go?
It threw me for a loop, to be honest, because I was like, it was like the 31st of 50 Tinder dates this year.
Okay.
And I was like 30.
Wait, are you just throwing out numbers, or it was legitimate?
No, I'm throwing out numbers.
You're 30 for 30. You're on a hot streak.
Yeah.
31 comes along and it just bombs.
Doesn't bomb. Okay. So this girl was the first time that I went on a date with like the quote unquote hot girl in like high school.
Got it.
Like the hot bitchy girl in high school who like I have never even attempted to hit on before.
Right.
But
So
what I think happened is this. As a result of her being so hot and seemingly cool, I think I tried to overcompensate and act a little bit. I think I came off as a little bit arrogant. If I could go back in time and see what happened. If I wish I could see the tape.
Yeah.
I wish I could see the tape.
Just go over your game.
I want to text her and be like, what happened?
Right.
Like, how come?
Why didn't you? Why don't you? Is it
because I think the answer is arrogance, and I think asking just feeds into that arrogance.
Right. Tell me what about me. What is it? Me, exactly.
That's why I don't text her.
Well, maybe she's listening out there, man. Hey, number 31, if you're listening,
I forget her name, but her picture in Tinder, or in Hinge, I believe it was, is she's holding a bow and arrow.
Okay.
And she looks like a goddess of land.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's like,
it's like some Hunger Games.
Gorgeous.
Shit.
Yeah.
She's like some Aphrodite.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Well,
she's
maybe
in great
shape. I think in maybe some weird world, bro, number 31 ends up being
the one.
The one.
She's too cool for me. I think. I don't know though. We'll see.
So let me freak. I feel like part of your act is you pull a chick up on stage and you just
try humper
freak her, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then,
where else can you do something like that? You know what I mean?
Well,
I got to take advantage of being allowed to do such a thing in a social setting.
Absolutely. I mean, any other guy who does that is going to jail.
Yeah.
They're getting, arrested. They're getting handcuffed.
Totally.
And you get chicks wet over it, and they want to be chosen to be that guy.
I hope. I always, every time, except for like when they make it very, if they come on stage and they're like pulling their bra off, I know they're down for it, but like, I'd say at least half the time I'm not sure that they A, know it's about to happen, and B, when it starts happening, if they're actually okay with it. So I always, my favorite part of the show is when I whisper in her ear as I'm humping, I say, are you okay? Is everything okay? Yeah, I love that part. And they're always like,
I'll stop if you want, girl.
They're always like, it's fine, it's totally fine. I'm like, cool. I just love that moment.
That's
I come off as
not only is it basically a comedy show, rap show, You're acting at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, in your music videos, you're straight up acting.
Yeah.
That comes, all of it kind of comes natural.
Yeah. It's really surprising.
I feel like I
incredibly
would,
natural to me.
I could, even let's say in some alternate universe where I could rap, I still don't think I could do like the music video where you're fucking like acting. And I feel like I'd still seem like an idiot there.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I always deep down felt that I was destined for something.
Okay.
But like, when you grow up, like the way I grew up, it was never about like go become creatively the best the best thing you can become. It was like, no,
go get
your grades up so you can get to the best college. So like since like 10th grade onwards, like my focus has been getting good grades to go to the best college I could get into to then get the best job.
Did you go to school?
Yeah, I went to University of Richmond in Virginia. Graduated like top of my class.
Right.
Went to San Francisco immediately. Got a job at an advertising agency, like a great job. So like I just never had a moment to like say like I always felt that I was something. But I never had a moment to even try
it because everything. I mean, it's first world problems.
For sure, And I'm not. There's no. Yeah, totally. First world problems.
Right.
Like,
but
boo-hoo.
To be honest, there is. Again, it's almost like that same demographic that you appeal to.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get
those problems where
people
like,
get stuck.
My parents did a great job and offered me a lot, and now all of a sudden I have this like kind of lame ass job, but it pays well and it's safe, and I can never really take a chance.
Yeah.
So you were all set up. You had a real job.
Yeah.
And just said fuck it, or was there a moment?
I always knew that I was going to attempt something. Like I would have never been able to live with a what if. I could live with failure. I knew I had to attempt something.
No regrets. Yeah.
No regrets. So I started doing the rap stuff, and even like I waited until. I mean, I put my first video online, ex-boyfriend, I put it online.
Yeah.
The first day I put it online.
Got like a million views.
Got a million views in the first day. Yeah. So it didn't take long for me to like be like, okay, this is definitely, you're something.
It was a safe, plunge to be like,
but before that, my parents had an actual intervention.
Really?
They were like, you should not put, like, we do not want you, like, I want to be on the record. We do not think you should put this stuff online.
Right.
Like, you are going to jeopardize your ability
to
get
future
jobs.
So were you rapping, like, for fun? Like, did they know you were a rapper, recording in the garage or some shit like that?
Yeah, they knew that I, like, rapped a little bit in high school, like, with my friends for fun. But, like, it wasn't ever anything. And, it became such a big part of my life when I started working on it. that, like, when, like, I call them once a week and they say, what's new with you? I say, I'm just working so hard on this rap. Like, they knew that I was working on something.
Yeah, everybody
knew that. I didn't even tell, like, I didn't show my friends. I just, like, everybody knew that I was doing something really bizarre that was taking all of my time.
Yeah, I hear that.
And I just, yeah, I went for it. And, like, I'm not, I guess my beliefs about myself are confirmed, like, in terms of, like, you are meant to do something. But I am, I guess I am an arrogant human being to some extent, but I am even surprised at how naturally it came to me.
Well, there's a level of arrogance for anybody who performs. Yeah. Anybody who puts something out there.
Or does anything where they're trying to do their own thing, like, aggressively, yeah. You think that you're really good at something.
Right. And maybe not arrogance. There's
self-belief.
Yeah, and it's like there's some level where it's like, I think people are going to want to listen to me or read me or watch me or whatever.
I think people
That's
care.
A little cocky, but you know what? You have to have that in order
Everybody
to make
who's
it
made it has that same mindset.
Right. And people who don't have it, it'll probably come across the wrong way, or they'll be rubbed the wrong way. But yeah. It's like, well, whatever, dude. Yeah. Fuck you then. You know? Yeah. Was there any ever like overlap between like normal life and as an advertising whatever?
So here's
and you were walking in like old school. You know what I mean? Where it's like, yo, that dude in accounting is fucking rapping. You know what I mean?
Well, I definitely like everybody at the agency knew. Like,
okay.
Like I couldn't hide it. Yeah. But I worked at an amazing place. Like where I worked was like the most liberal company in America. I mean, maybe not the most, but like it was for a corporate setting, like the most liberal, and like they really like want people to do exactly what I did. Like they couldn't be happier. Go do your own. Like they even have every year they do a thing where they have a program where they say, "What are your dreams?" The winner of this thing will get $50,000 from us to make you to start your dreams. Like they like do that for every person, like every year.
So you really were in like the perfect
setting.
I
tried to do it for Lil Dicky.
They didn't do it.
They're like, nah.
What a bunch of dicks.
I could have used that 50 grand.
Yeah, man. Fuck
no, but they were great. They like let me use, you know, their equipment, like their cameras. Their
so
lights.
In a way they help. So there was never
totally
any, there was never any like.
And I wouldn't have been, I don't think without working there. So working there, you just see, they've got their own in-house production company like there. And you just see like all these things being edited, all these things being shot. You see how easy it is to make content. Which I never had any
idea
about.
And that just encourages you more.
I was like,
I can do this.
I can do this. You know, I've got these ridiculous ideas. What if I just, you know, did this with my own thoughts?
Right, right.
And I
that's incredible.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
So was there a moment where you were like, I'm a pretty fucking good rapper?
Because
I feel like
everybody
went to high school with a kid who thought he was going to be a rapper and like was making those mixtape CDs and it was like, bro, you suck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I applaud your efforts here, but you suck. Was there a point where, you know, you did a show or a fucking freestyle or whatever it may be that people were like, oh.
Not really. I never rapped in front of like, for example, the internet is so crazy that before I had ever even rapped in front of like more than two people at once. I had to do my first concert ever at TLA in Philly in front of 1,000 people. Like I
what?
Was so ill prepared.
That's
that was
crazy.
The worst day of my life.
Yeah. So I mean, what song is it? The scared one. Really,
really
the
scared. Yeah.
You say like you're 26, you never even done a show yet, and all of a sudden you're.
I'd never done a show, and now and like I literally was headlining a tour on my like from the first show. Like
that is like snake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Do people realize that when they were
I
giving
made
you
sure to announce
menus?
It. Yeah. I certainly was like, hey, just letting you know, first time doing this.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wait, there was an original question. Oh, a moment where. So I never really had a moment like where I was like, you're a, I mean, I always kind of rapped and was like always kind of funny.
Right. That I guess that's my question is when did it kind of go from like funny
just
to
serious.
Like you fucking murdered that verse?
Right. I would say the song for me, the biggest moment was the song Russell Westbrook on a Farm.
Yeah.
Cause like, you know, I took myself seriously to a certain extent, but never seriously to where I thought I could put out a serious song that was like one of my dopest songs.
Right.
So once I did that and I was like, that's actually the best song you've made. I was like, wow. You're way more than just like before you kind of feel like you're skilled, but you're also relying on being funny.
Right.
To not have to rely on it was a big
that,
moment.
That's what's weird is that like, that's why I asked originally when we first started, like, are you going out there trying to make people laugh or be like, that was dope. There is an overlap, but it's like laughing is just, it's such a different, it's an equal reaction, but it's so different.
Totally.
And in rap, when you want someone to be like, oh,
right.
Like that punchline killed it.
Yeah.
It's better to not be humorous,
I
you know?
Yeah.
So
it's tough. It's, I mean, like and it's been evolving. Like, I don't think I ever, when I started was like, you need to be taken seriously as like a legitimate rapper.
Right.
Now I totally am that way.
Now you want to be.
Yeah.
So you think you're going to reach a point where people are like, Dicky, make me laugh. And you're like, fuck you. I'm an artist. Like that punchline was dope.
You know, I don't think I'll ever get to the point where I'm making a full project where there's nothing funny on it. That would be super weird of me and depressing. Like, I think I'd have to be like really unhappy in life to do such a thing.
Like there's something terrible has to happen to you to like inspire you.
Not going with it, I wouldn't. Yeah. No, but yeah, I don't know. I, some people, I hear it all the time, like, man, like, you killed that Russell Westbrook on a farm. I wish you would stop joking around. And then I'll put a serious song and be like, this is cool, but you know what? I love your
when
funny
When you make
stuff.
Me laugh. Yeah. Well,
so I think the hybrid is the right approach.
For sure. I just always wonder, though, if there's like, you know, you're splitting, like, go 100% one way or the other. And like,
I try to go, I always have musical integrity at this point. Like, I won't say that.
I was going to say,
no,
like,
not
know,
always, because it's not true.
Defining integrity.
You're right, because like, I'm actually, you're right. Like, I don't, like, I have songs that are significantly less digestible because I tack on 2.5 minutes of me babbling at that.
I was just going to say, like, you know, when you're sitting on the toilet being like, yo, I'm on the toilet because I shitted on this, but, like, I also literally took a shit.
Yeah.
No,
totally. No, I agree. There are times to make sacrifices. Like, Let Me Freak is the perfect example. Like, when I... you know, stop the flow and be like, is it like a machine issue? Like where I break it up like that?
Yeah.
That's totally taking away the integrity musically at that moment. But it really adds, to some extent.
Yeah, to some extent. But I would never be like, oh, like you just fucking ruined the song. You know what I mean? I think it adds to it.
I agree. I think it's unique and different, but I have seen comments where it was like, I love this. I just wish he didn't break off from the flow.
Right.
Everyone's going to have an opinion. It's impossible to please everybody.
Right. Some people are going to be like hip hop purists. Some people are going to be down for the comedy, whatever.
And my biggest problem as a human being right now is that I can't handle criticism, and
you might be in the wrong industry, homie.
I genuinely want to and think I'm capable of pleasing everybody.
I think for the most part you're pretty universally well liked, you know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
I mean, I'm sure there's internet fucking trolls everywhere, but I've always heard I see all sorts of internet hate. That's the life I live in. Anytime Lil Diggy's mentioned, for the most part, it's all
smile, you know, on people's faces.
Yeah,
cool, that's what I'm going for.
I mean, But at the same time, you got to ruffle some feathers. You know, you can't be trying to please everybody.
No,
you know?
And I think I take controversial routes for sure.
Well, I saw you caught some heat for White Dude.
Yeah.
Which, again, to reference out how Let Me Freak, that scene was so relatable.
Yeah.
White Dude is the most honest, on-point song any white person has ever listened to.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're going to get a little uptight about some racial shit, I can understand where people are going to be like, that's offensive. But that shit was so honest.
Yeah, listen,
nothing you said was false. Nothing you said was wrong, or you know what I mean?
I definitely pushed the limits in certain parts of that song.
You knew at points where you're like,
yeah,
I'm going to say it anyway. Fuck it.
Do you want to know my honest opinion? Is that I believe in nothing higher than the joke.
Okay? Right.
If something's capable of making someone laugh, then that is an art form that has no right to be challenged based on how offended you are by anything. In my mind, that's just how I view it.
100%.
That's how South Park guys view it. If you watch South Park, like, do you know how ridiculously offensive they can be? If you know what I mean. But you really have to believe in the joke. If something is capable of making X people laugh, then that is an art, and that needs to be respected as an art.
Especially if there's a little bit of intelligence behind it. It's not just like hitting you over the head with something stupid.
And it is a joke. Like, I guess
you're not.
The trouble is when people think that I'm actually serious.
Right.
I have trouble even responding to such things because it's clearly over their heads or something.
You even say it in the song half the time. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm just saying, you know, but there are always going to be people.
It's just hip hop isn't normally like a place for that. It's not normally a place. It's like, it's not people. It's the whole thing. It's confusing to people because it's just not, normally the context.
Yeah.
So, like, the context is all out of whack. If I was doing a TV show like South Park, I don't think anybody would give a shit.
Nobody. It would just be like, yeah, those are some funny, like, racial jokes, but that's part of every stand-up comedy routine, every movie, every TV show.
It's the context.
And also with rap, it's like, you know, every song you've ever heard is all about, like, you know, black people culture and all that shit, and you're doing a white person version, and it's rubbing people the wrong way.
Right.
But it's all honest and true.
Yeah.
And it's all funny as fuck.
And it's exaggerated, too.
Yeah. Obviously, it's hyperbole.
It's hyperbolized.
You're doing it for the punchline.
Certain things, you know, I don't have to wake up and wear makeup. It's 100% true.
Right.
But, like,
I don't have to go on a date and worry about being raped is obviously over the top.
Exactly.
It's extreme.
Thank you. Yeah. Totally.
I mean, anybody with a brain
who's
listening to rap, who has any sort of sense of humor is going to get it.
Right. That's my hope. Hang on one sec. Keep talking. I'm listening.
Yeah. So I've found myself recently embroiled in a rap battle.
You were in a rap battle?
I'm currently in a rap battle.
With who?
Her name is Tico Texas.
What?
She's this fucking hood rat bitch from Houston, Texas.
How did this originate?
So I wrote a blog.
Yeah?
And it was when Ariana Grande and Big Sean split up.
The sad day for everybody.
We all thought they were going to make it, Dave, and they just, you know, America's couple broke up.
Mm-hmm.
And I said something to the effect of Ariana Grande is a fucking megastar, and she's going to move on to a major, you know, boyfriend sort. And that Big Sean, I like his music, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I took some shots at Big Sean. Said he's a chump.
Okay.
Tico Texas finds me on Twitter.
And who is Tico Texas?
No fucking idea.
Okay.
The world had no idea who she was either until this happens.
Okay.
She comes at me on Twitter.
Via video form? Or via just words?
Just tweeting at me.
Yeah, tweeting at me. Yeah.
She's like, saying that little Sean's a bitch, blah, blah. She goes in on me. And I obviously just, you know, as a blogger, I'm like, this is gold. I got as much material as I ever need. So I just start stirring the pot. We go back and forth on Twitter. All of a sudden, she researches my life, dude. My wife, my dog, my job,
how
my
is this
sports team.
Accessible? Just Google?
I mean, I put a lot out there on the blog. I'm sure we got a lot of, like, I got a lot of haters who I think were, like, feeding her information. She's got an inside source, by the way. I don't know who it is. I'm an Islanders fan. There's this fucking Islanders fan who hates me. I think he was feeding her info.
Okay.
Anyway, she drops this track called Numbers Never Lie, and she's just going in on your boy.
How long is it?
It's a full, like, three and a half minutes.
Jeez.
She...
What beat? Listen, is it a famous beat or no?
No, it was an original beat. I'll be honest. She claims someone who produced it for Rihanna made it. It's a dope beat and a good hook. I'll give her that.
Yeah.
She's atrocious.
Okay.
But she's going in. She's talking about fucking killing my dog. She's talking about letting her boyfriend come in my wife's mouth.
Yeah.
Horrible shit, man.
That's sick.
So now I'm trying to make my response record.
Wow.
Two things. Well, three things. One, have you ever been in a rap battle?
I was in.
It's not like you came up like 8 Mile style.
I remember, not really, but there was one time at the YMCA.
Oh shit, Lil Dicky at the Y.
Lil Dicky at the
real.
Y. Back when he was just Dave, and I was like in, I want to say like 8th grade.
Okay.
And we were the gym wasn't open, and like it was like there was just like all the kids waiting to play.
Right.
And it was a predominantly black crowd. And this one dude was rapping, and his name was Face, and he was hideous. They called him Face because he was ugly.
He had a bad face. Yeah. Okay.
And I just remember, like, they were rapping, and, like, my friends knew that I could rap. They just, like, peer pressured me into doing it, and I just did it. And, like, it was cool. Maybe that was a moment where I didn't rap well or anything, but, like, it was a moment where I rapped in front of people for the first time, and, like,
oh, shit,
people were, like, laughing. And, like, yeah. It wasn't, like...
Were you, like, freestyling?
Yeah.
You can freestyle just
No. I mean,
at that moment you thought you could.
At that moment I thought I could, and I'm sure I can freestyle better than like 99% of the world.
I would imagine.
For a rapper, I imagine I'm terrible.
Right.
Like,
so
I'm
you
not
would never
good.
Like step to somebody and fucking be like, let's freestyle.
No.
Be like, give me a couple weeks to write a fucking verse about you and I'll kill you.
Give me some 8-hour days where I can wake up at 9 a.m. and have like 2 screens and like complete access to the internet.
Well, so if you can't fucking battle rap and all that shit,
Let me ask you this.
I'm in trouble.
How committed are you to even responding?
I'm 100% okay. Committing. Why? You saying I shouldn't respond?
Well, I guess you have no real stake in that. As a rapper, I know that if someone really came at me, I wouldn't respond.
Out of, like, fake, like, I'm above it, but I'm afraid?
No, I'm not afraid of
you
anybody.
You would actually be
I know that I can rap, I can rap against anybody. And I just, I would want it to feel like I'm big dogging the person.
I hear that.
I respect that. But you have no stake in the rap industry. So it's
that's
like,
the thing.
Yeah, you have a different
and
thing.
But that's also, well, first of all, I'm behind the eight ball here.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be this like middle class white dude who's just going to try to shred this black girl. That's going to go over real fucking well.
Yeah, you're going
to
have an issue.
I'm also not a fucking rapper. So I'm kind of, I'm in her realm here.
That's not going to
go well. The two things that I need an MC name.
So I'll tell you what.
You're the king of AKA monikers.
Yeah.
I've gotten fans have been throwing some shit out to me. They've been calling me White Zinfandel.
White Zinfandel is so sick.
Soap, right?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of unsweetened iced tea, so I've been young unsweetened.
Yeah.
Cream cheese,
Cream cheese.
I feel like just first reaction, like you look at me as a rapper, MC.
Dude, I honestly love White Zinfandel.
I think it's hard to beat.
Yeah,
right?
It's hard to beat. Like, I don't think you should force it.
White That's Zinfandel. The guy. I give him free tickets to the show. Right
White
now.
Zinfandel like, is an amazing rap name.
It is. I mean, I might have to become a rapper.
Can I use it
now,
as an AKA at some point?
I would be honored if you threw out White Zinfandel.
AKA White Zinfandel is so sick.
It's so classy. You got to do it on a song about like a woman, a bitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So any like words of advice though for this battle? I mean, because I'm doing it.
Here's
I understand
what I'll tell you. It seems like you don't care about what people think about you.
Unfortunately,
right?
For better or worse.
But here's what I'll say: is that if you take that approach, it's one thing when you're taking that approach and you're writing words and you're blogging. As a guy who knows firsthand, you use rap as that context, and it's going to become a lot more controversial than you think.
Oh yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Okay, all right. So be ready for controversy. Be ready for a little.
I'll just be mindful because That's all. It's different when you're blogging. I'm not telling you to do anything or not do anything. I'm just saying, just know that like it will end up being perceived as a different thing once you start rapping.
All right. Good shit, man.
Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate it, dude.
For sure.
You're a Philly guy, right?
Yeah.
Philly sports?
Yeah.
Coming through? Eagles, Phillies, the whole nine?
For sure.
What do you think about your Phillies?
The Phillies are the worst team in baseball.
Garbage, bro.
They should have rebuilt. But the thing is, but I'm forever indebted to the Phillies because they've given me my only championship.
Flags fly forever, baby. Yeah.
So,
that's
like,
it.
No problem with Ryan Howard. No problem with Chase Utley. And I never will have a problem with those guys. Cole Hamels, never.
100%.
You know, if we're going to move on to the Eagles.
Chip.
Trust what Chip's doing. You got
to
trust Chip.
Well, you have to, but do you? Because everybody, I mean, you have no choice now.
I have to.
But do you have...
I do.
In your heart of hearts, are you like,
I do. He took a 4-12 team, made them 10-6. They were 10-6 last year, even though they kind of blew it, but I'm happy they blew it because I think they needed to, like, become better.
Right.
I think he's incredibly arrogant.
So arrogant. But kind of like we talked about.
So is Bill Belichick.
Dude. Yeah. You're either a major success or you're going to fall on your face in the club.
I'll either love Chip Kelly in 2 years or despise him.
Right. Oh, all or nothing. But that's what you want. Yeah. You don't want that middle of the road bullshit.
You know who
all
I love? Sam Hinkie.
Dude,
I'm so into Sam.
That guy, I'm dying to do. To do what he does. You know what I mean? Just fucking tank that and be done with it.
I love
that's
Sam
the Hinkie. That's the way to go in the NBA. You're either winning or you're not. So
yeah, for sure.
All right, man. I'm gonna let you get to your show. I know you got bigger and better things to do. So. Oh yeah, you.
Yeah, you can find me online at lildicky.com.
On the interweb?
Oh, yeah, at lildicky.com. From there, you can also reach me at Twitter at lildickytweets, at lildickytweets. Instagram is lildickygram. I think Facebook is lildickyrap, as is YouTube. And I'm Dave.
All right, man. Good shit.
Yeah.
Enjoy the show out there. We appreciate you taking some time.
For sure.
Thanks, man.
See you.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.